You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we're discussing love and marriage. Marriage can be one of the most rewarding experiences in your entire life, and just as rewarding can be one of the worst experiences. Like I always say, you pray that you choose wisely. You know, tonight we're going to explore the fundamentals of a good marriage. How to identify the signs that your spouse may be cheating or heading towards that direction, the pitfalls to avoid, and even if you're engaged in the marriage pitfalls, how to get back on track and have the marriage that you've always wanted. I think a good question is, what makes for a good marriage? I think marriage is definitely a two-way street. You can't have one person giving and the other just taking. You must be unified, and in that you win together. Now, I don't think that means that you lose your identity and become a half of someone. You don't become a half of someone else. No, I don't think you play that way. I think you need to enter a marriage as a whole person and marry another whole person. That makes two wholes, not one whole. And I believe that you can have an incredible marriage, but it takes personal power as well as personal work, as well as united power and united work. Good evening, Billy Boy. How you doing?
I am doing wonderful. What a beautiful Sunday.
It is a beautiful evening. It's always great. I like it early in the summer like this. It's nice.
Absolutely.
It's not too hot, you know?
Not yet, anyway.
So I know that you're not married, and I understand that, but you've almost been married. You've dodged the bullet a few times.
Well, I was engaged once upon a time, and infidelity happened to be one of the issues that ended the engagement. So I'm actually real interested in what you have to say tonight.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's right on par here. Okay, that makes sense. I think a lot of people listening tonight have either dealt with the infidelity card personally, with a friend, with a spouse, with an ex-girlfriend, with an ex-boyfriend. So joining us this evening in the studio, Detective Gomez. You've probably seen Detective Gomez on the national TV series Cheaters, and he's also a licensed private detective. Good evening, Detective Gomez. How are you doing?
Fantastic. How are you doing today, Ashley?
Just glad that you could join the Perspectives team tonight.
I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad we're here to discuss a little infidelity, love, and marriage.
That's right.
So how do you feel, Detective Gomez, how do you feel about the sanctity of marriage?
It's something that you really, really need to think about, you know, as a whole, not just at the present time. When you decide, well, God, I think I want to marry this girl. Well, you got to look at her and think about your future at the same time with the person.
That makes total sense. I mean, I know that marriage can be one of those most rewarding experiences in life, but I also know anything rewarding has its ups and downs. And as someone once told me, and it's stuck in my brain forever, nothing good comes without hard work. And marriage is permanently on the top of that hard work list. I think let's begin by talking about the fundamentals of a good marriage. And I think the fundamentals of a good marriage begin with, first off, listening to each other. I mean, you can't really have a good marriage if both people aren't listening to each other.
That's correct. Listening and communicating with each other. I mean, if one person speaks, the other person speaks. Because despite what the person looks like and how long you've been married, it's still a human being. Sure, she's good looking. She's got great big boobs, nice body. She looks great in a bikini. But you know what? She's also got a personality inside. And also, you've got to look at her and realize she's just a human being also. And two human beings together in too much time and not listening to each other, it's not going to work out. You know, even if it's like a roommate situation, it's kind of the same thing. But you're actually married to this person because you got a contract with that person. So you not getting to know the whole person as a whole, you'll be doomed.
I agree with that. And when you don't listen to each other, you don't talk things out, it's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like going to a party, everybody drinking and everybody talking over the music the whole time. Nobody's getting anything done. You know, nobody's learning anything. I mean, I think you got to talk things out. I think like with a good friendship, just like a good marriage, I think a good component of a marriage is a friendship. And in order to understand each other or to discuss issues, talking things out, not taking it, not escalating it to the argument, to the fight. You know, we've all been to those parties where, you know, there's a couple that you're friends with that instead of ever talking, they just escalated. It goes from 0 to 10 on the Richter scale. Someone's running down the street. Someone else is screaming and yelling. Something's happened. They're moving out. And 2 days later, they're moving back in together. And you're just always like, well, okay. I mean, could we not do this on like a little less decimal? You know, turn it down just a little bit. Like open the lines of communication.
Yeah. And the other thing is, once you see that, I mean, how much respect do you have for them after that? As a couple. You look at them and you go, golly, man, they drive a Jaguar, got a big house, but they treat each other like dirt. So how much respect do you have for them after that? And then how much, I mean, if they got all this going for them, how much respect do they have for themselves in their own home?
That's
true. Can you imagine what that's like?
Yeah, because you're only seeing what they're showing you.
Yeah.
You're not seeing behind closed doors what's going on.
That's correct.
I mean, do you find that a lot of couples just don't talk?
They don't talk, and then they just put up with it. I had a client the other day, sadly, to say, she told me, we got into a fight. He came home, he choked me, slashed the tires on my car.
Wow.
I couldn't take the kids to school because of what happened. But she goes, but everything's okay now.
Whoa.
So she's at a point in her life where she's just going to put up with it. I said,
wow.
Let me help you get you
to show. Is it kind of the battered woman syndrome type thing?
You know, I mean, yeah, because, yeah.
I mean, you're not a psychologist,
yeah,
but I mean.
But yeah, but they get to a point where it's okay. It's okay for him to do that, and he'll be okay in a couple. He was just drunk. It's okay. But he said he choked you. So if she's okay with that now, then there's something happened in the past she's been okay with in the past. And yeah, it gets back to the battered women thing where they just get used to it. She doesn't have a great education. She's got 2 kids. She's just going to put up with it.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back.
And her parents live out of town. They live in another state.
Right, so she doesn't have that support structure. Yeah. So I think it kind of goes back to Ashley's point, don't you think? I mean, she probably doesn't respect herself very much.
No, self-esteem.
So how can she respect the other person? And Ashley, I think if you respect yourself, it's easier to demand maybe too strong a word, but I mean, to get the other person to respect you.
Right. Or walk out and say, look, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm going to check myself into a shelter and get some help.
Well, I agree with you. And I think that all these things are very promising. I think that people do find themselves in bad situations. A lot of times it's because they feel lesser than themselves or they don't have enough money, they feel, to be able to live on their own. That's a big deal with women that stay with abusive men, is that they have kids, they have all this stuff going on. They might not have a full education. They might wonder if they could actually survive without you know, the financial background of the husband. And so they'll accept the choking. Mm. They'll accept all this. And unfortunately, it just doesn't work. It causes all kinds of problems. So what about the whole concept that Bill brought up, the whole one, like, you know, cares and loves one another? I mean, if you care for yourself and you love yourself as a person, and I know that gets to some people that don't understand that, and you can love yourself, and that's the biggest deal, is that if you love yourself, you care about what happens to you. So if both people love each other and both people love themselves, normally you won't find anything like that happening in a relationship. But if one person just doesn't like themselves, they're not going to find love with anybody else either.
Good point. It's a give and take relationship, whether you got a roommate, best friend, sister, brother, whatever. Husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you got to give and take a little bit. You got to be willing to give a little bit, take a little bit. It's not going to be perfect. And anybody that thinks it's going to be perfect, I mean, you can spend $1 million on your wedding. Doesn't mean your marriage is going to be perfect.
You have a great marriage. I mean, you have a great wedding.
You have a great wedding.
Great party.
Yeah, you know, you look at, what's her name? Tony Parker and Eva Longoria. They spent all this, they got married in France, had this big, lavish wedding. And you got caught texting some woman on the phone. And turn around and it was another woman he was having a sexting relationship with.
Oh.
And sadly to say, that ended their marriage. And all the money they spent and everything they spent went right down the tube.
And that was the night of the wedding?
No, it happened after.
Oh, okay.
But they spent all that money on the wedding. And the point is that no matter how much money you spend, you know, there was a point there where something wasn't working right. And they obviously didn't discuss it. He went and did what he had to do. And once he did that, she divorced him. It's over with.
It makes you wonder how long Kim Kardashian. So who did she marry, Kim Kardashian? And who was it?
Kanye West.
There we go, Kanye West. Makes you wonder how long, because they spent, some serious blame.
Yeah.
On their wedding.
And the other thing is, I mean, both of them love each other, love each themselves a lot.
I don't know how much they love each other. Yeah.
But she loves herself, and he loves himself. He thinks he's the next Jesus, and she thinks, you know, so sooner or later, it's going to, I honestly think it's going to clash.
Well, the difference between what I call about self-love and what you're talking about love is that you can love yourself,
right.
But this type of love is more of an egotistical type extreme, and that normally comes from someone that's very, that has issues with self-esteem issues, because it basically takes people from, okay, well, they obviously are in charge, they got all this, they're acting this way, they must have all this going on, but when you go to that extreme, it's just the same as if it was the opposite, where you felt lesser than, you know, and I think that's important. So I think the fundamentals of a good marriage is very important. So when Perspectives returns, we're continuing our discussion on what makes for a good marriage. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Know what I'm craving? A little perspective. That's it. I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With,
what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective, which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc 1947.
I'm afraid...
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. If you're just tuning in, we've been exploring the fundamentals of a good marriage. Later, we'll discuss how to know when someone may be diverting off track or cheating, and the marriage pitfalls that you want to avoid. Just right before break, we were talking about, you know, the best, the fundamentals of marriage, and about listening to each other, you know, talking things out, caring and loving one another, not running when things get tough, I think is what we just ended up on. Not running when things get tough is so important, because a lot of times people want to run away. They want to go as fast away as possible without dealing with their problems. It's like moving from a city. You move because you have all these problems. Well, guess what? The problems are inside of you. They're not in the city. It's not the city that creates these problems and they push it on you. It's the things that you need to deal with, the baggage, you might say, that you need to unpack and get rid of. And I think that's inherent.
Very true. Very true. You've got to, you can't, you go, well, I don't like the crime in Dallas. Okay, well, move to Florida. Crime's still going to be there. Still going to break in your car. You can work it out if you want to, but you've got to have two parties that are willing to work it out. If one party doesn't want to work it out, then it's not going to happen. And you've got to, and that's part of the whole marriage thing. I mean, when you get involved with somebody and you decide, I want to marry you for the rest of my life, that's the rest of your life. And you've got to be willing to accept.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. And the good and the bad things that come with it. You know, if you think about your life before you got married, you had some good times and some bad times and all kinds of things. The same thing when you get married. When you get married, you're going to marry somebody for the good and bad. If I marry you, Ashley, and you come home tomorrow with your hair all chopped off, I'm going to be pissed. But I'm still not going to divorce you over it. You know what I mean?
Like, what the heck did you just do? Oh, my gosh. Short hair?
Football
helmet hair? Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
So, women do things like that. They'll go to the extreme sometimes and do something. Like, oh, man.
You're like, honey, we can get a wig. Oh, we can get a wig. Yeah.
And this is kind of a tangent here, but were you ever a fan of the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Yeah.
Remember the episode where she tried to bleach her hair because she thought Rob was taking her for granted?
I never saw it.
Go on YouTube,
okay.
and watch it, because it's hilarious. Because she's, oh, he's taking me for granted. So her best friend, it, you know, says bleach her hair. It's like a whole funny episode about, you know, how she tries to change it back and blah blah blah. But yeah, I mean, you know, so if you try to do something to get the other person's attention.
Yeah.
Then there's an issue there.
Or right. Without talking to the other person.
Or did you just go do it? If you come home and say you're married, and you come home and you went to a tanning salon for the whole day, and you go, what are you doing? You're orange.
I know. Why did you choose this?
You know? I thought I'd be more attractive towards you or something. You know, just talk about things before you do something drastic. And it's just anything that you do once you get married, you've got to be able to communicate and you got to talk about it. If you're not willing to give a little bit or take a little bit, you know, if I decide I want to play the PlayStation the whole day and I'm, you know, 45 years old and I want to do that, let me do it. But and lay there with
but
you.
But give and take. Yeah. But the, you know, it's like coming home with a new car without asking.
Yeah.
It's like coming home. It's like shopping, getting a new car, trading in the old car, showing up with the car, not saying anything. And, you know, and the spouse walking out to the garage going, when do we get the Yukon?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the same thing as when you make drastic changes without asking. And I think that's important because it's not two halves make a whole. It's two holes that make it two holes. But at the same point in time, you're married now.
Right.
You're in kind of a you've agreed that this is something you want to do.
Yeah.
I care enough about your input that I'm marrying you.
Right.
So I need to ask your input. So that leads right into this whole comment of ask questions instead of assuming.
Right.
A lot of times when we assume things, right, what does that do? That makes an ass out of you and me,
that's
right?
Correct.
And so unfortunately,
yeah.
That's what happens. But when you're married and you're assuming, what happens? That starts fights. That starts arguments. That creates anger. That instills hostility, you know, and also that creates negative emotions. I mean, if you have a question and you want to know something, the best way to find out the answer is to ask the question.
Yes.
And now if you feel that your spouse is maybe not being honest with you, you might have to re-ask the question in a
mm-hmm.
different way. But we'll talk about that later on. We're
okay.
not there yet. So let's go to the next one. The next fundamental good fundamental part of marriage, the thing that you want to keep is to not be judgmental.
Right.
I mean, being judgmental is a killer to relationships of any kind, friendships of any kind, even work relationships, much less marriage, right? I mean, because you marry them for a reason.
Right.
I mean, now you're judging something or you know, where did that come from?
Right.
Well,
I was
going to say real quickly, Detective, I mean, isn't it kind of a situation where familiarity breeds contempt?
Yeah.
You know, you get so used to being around that person
right.
that, you know, you begin to see more the negative than the positive.
Right. A lot of times people, they'll get used to that. It'll become just a way of life for them. And then, you know, when they get around another couple, they may go, wow, y'all get along so good. But this is the way he treats me. And they don't know any different.
And you're not seeing, you know, in that other person's
right.
bedroom, you know, or how they spend time together in their living room.
Well, yeah, when you go out to dinner with another couple, and I think this like works for every single person that's listening tonight, when you go out with other couples, you know, you see only the side that you're shown, and you make decisions based on that, and those decisions you make have no real evidence nor knowledge. So it's almost like turning on the TV and seeing somebody on TV or whatever and making a judgment call and comparing your life to them. You know nothing.
Right.
You're making a judgment call against yourself. You're trying to sit there and say, well, my marriage isn't as good, but you have no factual evidence to back up anything. So, you know, don't be jealous of other people's relationships, I think, but be able to see people for who it is. So, also, I think a lot of times people get overly jealous in relationships. I think that one person can become more jealous than the other person. Don't you agree? Where there's always one person that seems to be... Detective, you would know about this. Isn't there always one person that seems to always check up on the other sometimes, maybe when things aren't going well?
And that happens a lot, lots of times, because usually it comes to either a bad relationship they had in the past, and they're like a dog has been kicked too many times type thing. You know
That's
what I mean?
Awful. I'm totally against animal abuse.
I hate to
yeah,
say
me
it like
too,
that,
yeah.
but lots of times things like that happen to where they've just been verbally abused or something's happened to them so many times that when they start a new relationship with somebody, they haven't forgot about their past.
Gun shy.
Yeah,
and
they're not ready to quite move on yet, but nobody wants to be alone.
But see, that's a big deal. I mean, in my first book, I talk about the whole concept of loving yourself and finding yourself starts with being able to be alone and be on your own and be able to respect yourself, make dinner for yourself, relish in the fact of making dinner and doing something for yourself that you necessarily wouldn't do. Pick a movie, watch a movie. Don't just always think about entertaining other people.
Mm-hmm.
Think about respecting yourself.
Yeah.
You know, Ashley, one of the best pieces of advice my dad gave me, because he's had both a failed marriage and a successful marriage. He was married to my mother for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 10 years too many. But he's been, his second marriage has lasted 25 years.
Okay.
Over 25 years, actually. And you know, I'm in a relationship right now. We've been together for about 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always self-conscious when I'm with somebody. I feel like the need to say something or do something or whatever. He goes, you know, Bill, you need to learn how to be alone together. And it was like, wow, you know, because my dad is real good at that. He'll just plop out on the couch and start reading a book while my stepmother is watching TV or whatever. They're in the same room, but they're alone
together.
Just in the same room.
Right.
But they're enjoying each other's company.
I think I see what he says, too, is that you don't have to feel the silence. A lot of times people feel like they have to feel the silence.
That's me.
Well, you're like, you look at your spouse or significant other and you go, what are you doing? What's going on? Are you on the phone? What are you doing? Are you texting? Who are you calling? What's going on? You think you want to watch some TV? I think I want to watch TV. You want to go out to eat? Let's go out to eat. Where do you want to eat? Oh, you never know where you want to eat. I mean, it's like there's never a silence. And you just need silence sometimes. I mean, silence is golden. And when you allow someone else to have their own headspace, it's amazing because it means that you're not always having to be away from them, because some people need distance because the other person isn't quiet. And I think that can help too, because it's respecting someone's headspace, right? I mean,
yeah, because you know, when you live in a house or even in your office or wherever, maybe sometimes you just need time alone. And even when you're living with somebody, married with somebody, you've got to be able to be alone together without, you know, let her do her thing. You go do your thing, and then feel comfortable knowing that you can trust each other. Being in different rooms, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
It's like the dog. It's like the pet where they'll follow around the owners. They follow, you know, mom and dad around, and they're making sure it's like herding, you know, like the herding type dogs that they always herd around. So like, lastly, before we go into the next segment, you know, you have to think about the other person, and Bill just started talking about that, about you have to think about the other person's wants and needs. And if they need some silence, if they need some time alone, if they need to cook or do what they want to do, let them do it. You know, I think the smothering thing is what really ruins a lot of relationships. When somebody's right underneath someone's feet all the time, always there all the time, and every time they look around they're like, oh my gosh, you're right there. I think that's what gets a lot of relationships, because the mystery's gone already. But we got to give a little bit of room. But also lastly, you know, you're securing yourselves. You know, you don't need another person to define you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so important, is because when you're securing yourself, they're an additive in your life. They don't become you. They're them. But yet, you know, you're secure enough to say, yeah, honey, if you want to go do that, go do that. I mean, I feel secure that you'll be back. You know, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it if you're with the girls and you meet someone, you start talking to somebody, because I believe that, you know, everything's good.
Right.
And I think that when you're secure in yourselves, that says a lot. But when you're insecure, that also brings out insecurity in other people, as well as it's almost like a bad cologne. You know, insecurity, you know, it just kind of reeks. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? When you have people that would call you in the past, like relationships or what have you, just keep calling and calling and calling. You're like, man, you just try to avoid this person. But when they seem to have a little bit of distance, you're like, hey, I'm going to go back after them. I'm interested, you know? So when Perspectives returns, we're exploring how to know when someone may be diverting off track from the marriage, as well as the pitfalls in marriage that you want to avoid. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
You're listening to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. If you're just tuning in, we've been discussing the fundamentals of a good marriage. And now we're going to delve into the signs to know when someone is diverting off track, perhaps cheating in marriage. When someone goes off track, it seems sometimes apparent, right? But often can go somewhat unnoticed to the naked eye. So let's talk. What is your expert perspective, Detective Gomez, on this situation?
Well, this particular, since I specialize in this type of things, let me just kind of tell you. The first thing that usually happens is something called intuition or gut feeling. Women tend to call it a woman's, you know, intuition.
Guys, woman's call it, intuition.
Guys call it a gut feeling, but it's the same thing. Usually there's something inside of you that tells you something is wrong with your relationship. You don't know what it is, but something's wrong. And what'll happen is that once you have that, three things are going to happen to you. You won't be able to eat, you won't be able to work, and you won't be able to sleep. It'll take over your life. And you'll have this adrenaline in your body that'll keep you up. And you'll look at your significant overnight and look at him and go, what are you doing? In your mind, you'll say this to yourself.
Because you'll know inherently something's happening. You don't know what it is.
And you'll look at him or her and say, I know something's going on. I just don't know what.
That's interesting. So basically it takes over your whole life. Like you start thinking about it all the time. Okay, that's interesting. So what about your spouse hasn't changed a career? They haven't changed jobs. They haven't changed time that they work. But they begin to spend less time at home.
Well, two things have to happen. If somebody's going to cheat on you, two things have to happen. Or one either time or money. That person has to spend time with the other person, or they got to be spending money on them, one or the other.
Or both.
Because it could be something as texting somebody every day. That's time. Mm-hmm. Okay. It could be money. That person, other person, whoever it is, may need money for their phone bill. He or she may want to get them a gift for their birthday. But sooner or later, if you're having a true affair, I'm not talking one night stands, but a true affair with somebody else, you got to spend time with that person. They have to, because the other person needs time too. They want to be loved too.
Right.
So they need your love to spend time with them. They have to have it.
So basically, when somebody's cheating, they have like two spouses.
Yeah.
When they're with one, they got to be with the other
one. Yeah. They have to make time for it, because once they've engaged and decide to have an affair, they have to spend time with that person.
Is that why they call it living a double life?
Yeah.
I mean, you're actually living two lives.
They're living two lives. Yeah.
So, okay. So what about, you know, would another sign be also maybe all of a sudden the other a spouse is hanging out with their friends too much?
Well, it depends who their friends are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If depends, because lots of times men and women, they both do this, but they'll be either their best friend. And what happens is sooner or later, best friends say, look, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. You're cheating on your husband or wife.
Oh, like using the other person as a scapegoat.
Right.
Like I was over hanging out with so-and-so. And they do that, so they keep using that all the time. And that person finally said, "Hey, I don't want to be that person anymore."
Or they'll invent somebody. Okay, invent, like happened to me. My ex fiance invented a person I never heard of, and this person was taking her home from college at night. But later on, I found out that this female named Emily ended up being some guy with a mustache. Okay.
Oh, wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, is it the scenario where
Emily hadn't had a sex change yet?
Yeah.
Right?
No.
So it's like where I'm going out of town on business, but actually it's going, you know, to see
monkey
this
business.
Other person.
Right,
yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So what happened is she invented a person I never heard of, and I'm working. I'm like, okay, well, I've got to ride home from school at night. Don't worry about it. Okay, good deal. Emily's taking me home. And sooner or later, I was like, wait a minute. Who is Emily? I never heard of that. I've never met her before. So I'm like, okay. Let's do some investigation, find out who Emily is. And then, of course, Emily was another guy. So,
were you a private detective at this point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
That was dumb on her.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So I had to do the old play cool, play calm. Let's play the game and let's find out. I'm going to win this game. I'm going to find out.
So what happened when you found out that Emily was a man? What did you do?
I found out more about him, find out where he worked at. I put everything together so that in the end, there wasn't any way for her to come back and say, it was just a friend or he was just dropping me off. I had the whole story together so that I could confront her and say, look, okay, I know where the guy works. I know what you've been doing. I know you've been emailing him and I know you've been seeing him.
Ooh.
And now it's over.
Ooh.
So
you just had the direct confrontation then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But
like
I had
the cheater's confrontation.
But I had my facts down, because lots of times what will happen is that the person will automatically stop and say, wait a minute, he's just a friend. No, he's not a friend because I caught you doing this. No, he's not a friend because I caught you doing this. No, I got this. So I can't marry you anymore because you've said so many lies.
Yeah.
There were small lies that just turned into a big lie. And I can't even forgive you for that, because no way I can marry you in the future knowing you're going to be telling these kind of lies or capable of doing it.
Or you can forgive, but you don't forget. But also, you don't make a bonehead decision.
Right.
Because a lot of times people don't change their colors, unfortunately.
No.
I mean, some people can change, and I've seen people do some real radical, amazing change in life. But it takes real dedication and determination to know, I got to do this. And you got to want to do it. It's like sending someone to rehab that doesn't want to quit doing the drugs. Yeah. You know what? They're going to come out and they're going to do the drugs.
Right.
Rehab has a 7% effective rate. Okay. And the reason why that is because 93% go because they're told to go.
Right.
7% go because they want to go.
Right.
And it's the same thing here. If somebody wants to stop being a cheater, they can stop being a cheater. But if they don't want to stop being a cheater, they're just not going to stop.
Well,
you know?
You're right. And then you have to analyze the lie.
Right.
I mean, whatever lie they told you, you got to look at it and say, okay, how big was this lie? And how much effort and time and effort they put in to lie about this?
You know, so how elaborate was it?
Yeah. You got to think about it.
Premeditated it was.
Yeah, because if you find out that this person, or let's just say if you were married, you are married, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you happen to catch your husband sending emails for a whole year to another woman.
Oof.
Okay. And they talked about
it. I would not envy your husband in that case.
Right. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, the lie.
I wouldn't either.
the lie was so big that there's no way you can even go back and forgive him for that. Now, if it happened like, well, you caught him on a dating website. Did you ever date anybody? No, I didn't. Okay, well, okay, take it down. Okay, or something. It's a little bit different. But if you've got the whole lie there and you're reading through all these messages and pictures and all kinds of crazy stuff going on, sometimes you just can't forgive because there's just so much bad history there. You can't go back.
Well, I mean, I believe in forgiveness, though, because I think that when we don't forgive, we're not forgiving ourselves. And so, unfortunately, like, even if somebody's done you really wrong, and I've had some people do me really wrong in the past, I had to forgive it because it was eating at me. So I would be able to forgive that situation. I wouldn't forget. And I would think if it happened again, that would be it, you know? Well, that's it.
But once you get married, I mean, you see, the part about forgiving and forget, I understand that part. But you've got to, if you're going to be married to this person, you and you want to go, okay, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. Then who's to say 2 weeks later you're in the kitchen cooking, oh, by the way, who are you sending emails to? Are you sending emails to your girl again or something? I mean, you can't keep bringing it back up.
Oh, you know, I was at a dinner one time. It was a New Year's dinner, and it was a lot of us. It was like 12 people. And there was a couple, anyway, long story short, it was about 12, 10, right after, you know, the New Year's song and everything. And the guy's phone rings at 12:10.
Uh-oh.
And all of a sudden, this person goes, is that your hooker from wherever? And all of a sudden, everybody's like, whoa, what's going on? And what had happened is he had had an affair and come clean about it. And ever since then, you know, I mean, you're always constantly thinking that he's cheating.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Ashley, I've always thought that, and even though I'm not married, okay, I've been in relationships. Okay. And I've always thought that a big part of love is trust.
Yeah.
And Detective, I think, you know, what you were getting at is that, okay, you know, you can forgive, you know, certain incidents, but if you can't trust that person, then, you know, you can't really, you know, forgive them. And why continue? You know, I would think continuing the relationship at that point would be more harmful than helpful.
Oh, I can see what both of y'all are saying. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to continue the relationship, but I am saying that forgiveness is paramount in life just to move forward.
Of course.
But you don't have to continue it. I mean, if you don't feel like this person's, you know, responsible with your love or cares about you, I don't want you in a relationship that's painful. I don't want you in a relationship that you feel like is basically a job or a duty. And before we go into our next segment talking about the marriage pitfalls, what would be, you know, something that you would tell our listeners to just be aware of? It's just that feeling, that gut feeling?
Yeah, well, no, the gut feeling, and usually there'll be a distance. I mean, because there's a red flag that went up. In my particular case, a red flag that went up before it started. And that's what started the whole thing. And she had said, I had a study group on Friday night till midnight. And I go, huh?
Till midnight on Friday.
Yeah, and I go,
that's unusual.
And I said, okay, well, I'll see you after that. She said, no, I'm gonna go home tonight. And I was like, Emily's gonna give me a ride home. I go, huh, okay.
So that's when it all set off.
The red flag went up, and I was like, gut feeling kicked in. I go, something's going on. So something will happen, and then it's up to you from there to either control yourself and find out what's going on at a slow pace or immediately confront that person. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it can backfire on you also, because then the person can be like, what, you don't trust me? I can't go to school. I can't hang out with my friend. Then all that gets into it. So,
oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you got to be very careful like that. You be very careful because, and of course, the thing you don't want to do, and this is the biggest thing I will tell you, do not do this. Do not ask the other person, are you cheating on me?
Ooh, that's good.
Okay, because nobody in their right mind is going to tell you, oh, yeah, I'm doing the neighbor's wife or something like that. No one's going to tell you that. And nobody in their right mind is going to tell you that. So, do not ask that question.
I want to hear more about this after the break, actually.
Yeah, definitely. So when we return, we're going to talk about the marriage pitfalls and how to avoid them. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can show
you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about the fundamentals of a good marriage, how to know when someone is cheating or maybe diverting off track. In just a second, I'm going to give you the marriage pitfalls and how to actually overcome them. But right before we went to break, Detective Gomez said the one thing you don't want to do, just don't want to do, is confront your spouse and ask them if they're cheating. So what is that? You don't want to just go up to him and say, are you cheating on me? You don't want to do
that? Because you're getting to a point where you're getting stressed. You're not eating. You're not sleeping. And it's affecting your work. And sooner or later, you're going to go nuts. And you've got to pull yourself together, put your little poker face on, and play the game. It's just a big game of cat and mouse is what it is in the end. But if you immediately get that feeling and you ask them, are you cheating on me? Because I get clients all the time. That's the first thing they say. Well, I asked him if he was cheating on me, Detective Gomez. And he said, no. What did you think he was going to say? Yes? They're not going to tell you
She's
yes.
She's just a friend.
Yeah. They're not going to say anything. So if you really want to find out what's going on, you know, breathe a little bit. Maybe talk to a couple of friends.
Maybe see a counselor or see a life coach.
Talk to Detective Gomez or something like that. But, you know, find out what's going on mentally. Pull yourself together and do it strategically instead of more emotionally.
Yeah, so not guerrilla warfare. Let's just go strategically and figure it out.
Yeah.
Not ninja style.
Right, right. Because I had a client once.
I gave her
a little bit part of our investigation. I said, your husband's wearing a red shirt today. And then, yes, they were in the car together. She said, okay. She went home, attacked him, beat him up, and went to jail. And then she called me after she got out of jail. She goes, okay, Detective Gomez, I'm sorry. I'll never mention him again. What's going on? She lost control.
Wow, that's like a crime of passion.
Yeah, so you've got to be able to control yourself. If you decide you want to find out what's going on, and if you don't want to find out what's going on, it's fine. But if you want to start doing your own little investigations, like what they tell me, then take your time, play cool, and...
Well, if you need to know, if you basically have to have some closure, you need to know, then that's the way to do it. If you don't need to know, then that's a different story. If you don't need to know, that's different. But if you do need to know for closure or to figure out something or to know that you're not going crazy, then this is the right approach. So let's talk about marriage pitfalls. I think the biggest one that we're dealing with nowadays is social media, because it can be a pitfall when it's abused, when it begins ruling one of the spouse's life, or when a spouse begins getting on, let's say, Facebook really late.
Mm-hmm.
And instant messaging. And I think you have to watch this, because I think it's a sneaky marriage killer. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the instant messaging, especially, you know, and I get this question a lot, that some of my single female friends are like, this guy instant messaged me at 12:30 at night and asked me how I was doing. But he's got a picture of him and his wife there.
Well, oh, that's weird.
Why would he do that? And I go, well, he's fishing. You know, he's fishing to see who's going to bite. And sooner or later, maybe somebody will bite.
Oh, so he's sending this message out to several people then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's not the only one.
Is he just like copying and pasting, you think, or what?
Maybe so, to make it easier so he doesn't type as much. But lots of times it all, hey, what are you doing? How are you doing? Or something like that. And they go, what do I tell him? I said, well, just tell him that, what does he want? You ask questions. But lots of times, guys are in, and females too, every once in a while. It's mostly guys, sadly to say. But they'll say, hey, what are you doing? Nice picture.
I got you.
Well, they do it like at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning when they're sick.
Which is crazy. I mean, and the thing is, if you respond to that, I mean, I've had people where they've said, how are you doing or whatever, and that's when I'm like, by the way, I mean, if you want to be friends, that's great, but I'm married.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, the friend request is gone, and the message, you can no longer send a message to this person, and so they're gone.
Well, in Ashley's case, she has to deal with that a lot.
Yeah. Tell being beautiful.
I mean, yeah, what can she say, you know?
Right.
Well, I mean, what do you do? I mean, but you're right, you have to ask questions, and there was a time when I was younger and more, I don't know, I guess more scared to ask questions, but now it's like, what do you need? What's going on? What's happening? You know, and I think those are the good questions you want to ask, because the idea of texting someone at 12:45 at night.
Yeah, or texting or instant messaging on Facebook. I mean, and the other thing you got to worry about, if you continue the conversation, the wife's going to get to it sooner or later, and you're going to get something from her on top of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. And what is it worth? I mean, where is it getting you? You know, I mean, where is it getting you? That's kind of the big deal. What about the grass is greener? I think this is relevant to everything in our entire life, that you stop and realize you're doing this all the time. We all do. You see what you're doing and understand. So think about the concept of, everybody always thinks that so-and-so's got a better spouse, or so-and-so's got a better marriage, or they have a better relationship, or their sex life must be a lot better than our sex life. And I'm sure you hear that too, being a detective and going through all this stuff, that people say, we didn't have as good marriage as these people or whatever. But a lot of people compare themselves to things they can't compare, because unless the other couple moved in with them and they actually put like a clear divider between them, and they weren't realizing that they were all watching each other, they still couldn't even get a good component of what was really going on. I mean, it's not true. You don't know.
You can't. I mean, people, sadly now, with so much social media that's going on right now, it's so easy to get opinionated about somebody else without even knowing somebody. And sadly to say, more people are doing that now. But then you'll see that, and the first thing on the news is like, there's a double homicide, a self-inflicted wound, where the woman, yesterday there was a lady that killed her husband, her boyfriend, and shot herself.
Why?
And then everybody was like, well, I thought they were in a perfect relationship.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So you just don't ever know. And sadly, say now everything's so opinionated. Everybody gives their opinions. Everybody can voice their opinions now about anybody that they want to, whether it's social media or through friends or whatever it may be. But they have something back to look at. Oh, I saw their pictures. They look so happy.
Well, that's what they always say about a crime scene. He was always great. He was a great neighbor. But it's really appearances. Appearances are like what I say. Don't go with appearances.
No.
Don't rule by appearances. Don't judge by appearances. Because guess what? It'll screw you up every time.
Right.
Almost every single time it'll screw you up because you'll take for granted something. So that leads to what? Taking each other for granted. You know, when people are sad, when they're abusive toward the other person. And it's like, remember when you were first dating? I think everybody that's listening, when they were first dating, before they were ever married, you treated the other person with a lot more respect. You had a lot more fun.
It was the glow of the new relationship.
New relationship, yeah.
So why do you want to now treat somebody abusively or disrespect them? I mean, just because they're around all the time? I mean, that's basically it. I mean, they're around all the time, but it's like, you know, when you meet people that they sit there and say that their spouse, you know, treats strangers better than them, you know, what advice would you give to people that are going through that right now?
I would tell them to sit back, think about the beginnings when they first met and try to invent some of those new feelings that they had from the very beginning, and don't always think that the grass is always greener. Just because you think you want to be with a different guy, he's better looking, maybe bigger muscles. But he may have a bad personality. So, you know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? Those things you have to worry about, you know, because the grass isn't always green on the other side.
Right.
You know, you got to think about what you have and appreciate what you have and not be willing to cross that line. Because if you cross that line, there may be no return.
And you're right about the grass is greener thing is the biggest concept. And it's like, you know, a lot of times people get disgruntled or sad or bored. Mm-hmm. I think bored in a marriage is a big deal. And so you try to create interesting things. And so by creating these interesting things, you create drama in your life. And then it becomes crazy because then you get all this drama and things are going crazy and you're over there shuffling between women or whoever and things are happening. But you were bored for a reason. And that part of that bored was also inside of you because you have the ability to spice up your marriage and to stop doing the same humdrum stuff. You do. I mean, you don't have to go sit down in front of the TV every night and have a six-pack and say, man, my life is so boring, you know?
Well, you know, Ashley, the problem with the grass being greener is that it could be just painted concrete.
And I've done that before.
And you have done that before.
I have painted concrete. You're right. We did that together.
Illegally, by the way.
Illegally in city property. Yes, we did that. And it is true because it could be just painted concrete. I mean, the guy that you think is so amazing. I remember a friend of mine one time telling me about this guy that she met. And I was like, you know, you've been married for 5 years. I was at your wedding. And she's like, oh, you got to meet this guy. And so I meet this guy. And he was a very good looking guy. The second time we met him, he almost dropped his kid on the ground. He was so drunk. And I was like, you know, okay, so what are you giving up here? I said, really think about it. He seems very interesting. He's got his faults. And this is only the second time you've met him. I mean, you know, I mean, you've been around your husband for 10 years or 15 years. That's why, you know, y'all need to spice it up. But just remember, anybody for 15 years is going to feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have the same problems no matter who it is. If you marry that guy, you're going to be bored of him.
Yeah, he's going to be drunk all the time.
He's going to be, and on top of that, he's going to be drunk dropping your kids all the time. You know what I mean? So it's not going to get any better.
Yeah, and dropping her kids, not his kids. You know what I mean? Because then he started a new relationship with kids that aren't even his.
Oh, that's true. Oh, man. So let's sum it up here. What would be one last thing that you would tell our audience? We have about a minute left.
Stick to your gut feeling and don't ask the question, are you cheating on me? And investigate the facts of your case.
So that is good because I believe in that. I believe also just remember the fact that the grass is not greener. Just because it looks greener, just because the appearance looks a certain way, don't buy it. Also with the social media, remember, it's like having a birthday party and you're so interested in your Facebook. Focus on the now. Focus on who's in the room. Be cognizant of that. You know, I mean, a guy on the other side of an instant messaging might seem interesting, but try to find that interest in your husband or your wife. I mean, figure it out. But on top of that, I think more than anything is that if you've been in a marriage long enough and you care about its success, care about it. Go to the extra distance. But if you need to know something, you can call people like Detective Gomez and he can help you out. So stay tuned because guess what? Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in three shakes.